everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you. Thank you for being here today. I am here in the Progressive Radio Network studio, where I'm happy to be right now. It's cool and comfortable and clear. And I'm looking forward to later when my second guest will be bringing me some food. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be sampling some tasty Thai food. I wanted to remind you about some big events coming up. I've mentioned it before in the program, and the dates are coming up soon. So here's your big reminder. The Engine 2 people, that's Rip Esselstyn, and the whole Esselstyn crew, Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, Ann Esselstyn, Jane Esselstyn, and Rip, are teaming up with the Forks Over Knives people, and they're having some great events. There are three weekender events. One is in Dallas coming up very soon, September 30th to October 2nd. There's another one in Cleveland, October 28th to the 30th, and Pasadena, March 24th to March 26th. These are really wonderful opportunities where you get to eat great food, and you get to hear very valuable information from all of these wonderful people who are so passionate about healthy, delicious plant eating. And I got a deal for you, because if you go to responsibleeatingandliving.com, that's my website, responsibleeatingandliving.com. And if you don't want to type it out, you really should get our free app, which we've had for a long time now. It's all there on the homepage. I will give you a $50 off on this weekender, and the discount code is REAL50. So check that out. And then there's the week-long immersion. This is really wonderful. It's in Sedona, a place I have never been and long to go. And Dr. Clapper and Dr. Lyle will be there in addition to the Esselstyn team. And the discount for you is REAL150. That's $150 off that weekend-long immersion. So if you were interested before, the time is getting soon for those events. Check it out. Great. Okay, now I am super, super delighted today for this program and for my first guest. Kathy Freston is a New York Times bestselling author with a concentration on healthy living and conscious eating. She has appeared on The Oprah Winfrey Show, Ellen, The Dr. Oz Show, The Martha Stewart Show, and in Vanity Fair, Harper's Bazaar, and Self. Freston is a regular contributor to The Huffington Post, and the book we're going to be talking about today is the book of Veganish, The Ultimate Guide to Easing into a Plant-Based, Cruelty-Free, Awesomely Delicious Way to Eat with 70 Easy Recipes Anyone Can Make. Kathy, thank you. I'm delighted to have you join me on It's All About Food today.
Thank you for having me, Karen. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Thank you. Well, I've been following you for a long time, and you are definitely one of our shining leaders and so positive, especially because of one thing that I've heard you say many times, is that none of us have to be perfect.
Correct. I could not be perfect if I tried, and I think that trying to be perfect, like Voltaire famously said, the perfect is the enemy of the good. Mm. So let's just shoot for the better and better and continue to lean forward.
Well, you know, if we were perfect, wouldn't things be boring? There'd be nothing to do.
I agree. And that disciplined approach just never works, does it?
No. So I'm glad you're putting that out there all the time and in many different ways. Now, the first question I have for you, it's kind of a grammar question. I'm into language. Mm. You've coined a few words. A while back, you had a book that you used the word veganist, lose weight, mm-hmm. get healthy, change the world. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about veganish. Now, are these adverbs, adjectives? How do we use these words, and what are the differences between the two?
Yeah, well, veganist was just sort of, it was about my obsession. The IST means you're just someone who wants to go farther and really become an expert, just like an artist or a cellist or a pacifist. It's someone who's committed to a certain way of life. So this book, The Book of Veganish, is written for young adults and the young at heart. So that means millennials, people newly out of college, maybe still in college, and they're just getting exposed to these ideas of what it means to eat, you know, plant-based versus animal foods. And this generation is not big on labels. They really don't want to be called, you know, one thing or the other, whether it's political persuasion or gender or, you know, whatever belief system, could be religious. They're much more fluid and flexible. And I think that fits right into the whole, my philosophy has always been progress, not perfection. And I think it really works for, you know, this upcoming generation, is just to, rather than call yourself something, rather than box yourself in, it's all about the ish. It's all about the ish.
I like it, the ish. And maybe we'll have a few knish with the veganish.
Exactly. I mean, I got to tell you, you know, from my own experience, because I tend to be more relaxed about this stuff, I get a lot of pushback sometimes from activists.
Yeah, and those angry activists.
Yeah. And it's kind of like maybe it's the vegan police. I don't know what you'd want to call them, but and I get it. People are super passionate. It's a very emotional thing to. You know, suddenly discover what happens to animals, and you want to just yell it from the rooftops and make everyone change overnight. I get that, but it doesn't do any good. And I know that when people pushed back at me, you know, the hardcore activists, it made me want to shut down, and it made me want to just say, well, gosh, I can't do anything then. So why bother? And I think that's, you know, the case in a lot of things. And so I think the idea of just chilling and exploring and making it fun and taking this journey at your own pace, one step at a time, we're likely to have better success with ourselves as we make these changes, you know, rather than being frustrated and then bouncing back to old ways.
That works for me. Yeah. I always like to look towards the light. Look towards the joy, look towards the things that feel good, and help point people in that direction, knowing that in the other direction may be dark and evil and terrible.
Yeah.
We know it's there,
but
let's look in the other, let's go the other way.
I totally agree. And I think it's something that, you know, we're more likely to have a success if we take it slowly. Mm-hmm. And then the changes come comfortably. You know, it's like, what if I just love the whole idea of being plant-based, but I'm freaking addicted to cheese fries? And I, you know, the idea of giving up my cheese fries is just, you know, it's game over. I can't do it. Then I would say, hey, you know, move toward this way of eating, and don't worry if you enjoy your cheese fries every once in a while.
And then discover vegan cheese fries.
Exactly. And then what happens is you feel so good, you know, eating this way otherwise, that you do tend to sort of push a little farther and explore a little bit more. And then it's a free choice rather than being shamed into it. Shamed by yourself or shamed by activists. Mm.
Yeah, we have too many opportunities for guilt and anxiety and shame.
Yeah.
And
I have enough of that.
Enough.
Exactly.
I've been vegan almost 30 years, and the best results I have always had is when I put healthy, delicious vegan food in people's mouths.
Oh, isn't that
true? That's the biggest selling point. Oh, I can eat this. This is good.
Yeah.
Can you cook for me?
totally. And you know what? I think, Karen, that's kind of what happens, is people are interested in it, and then it's like, oh, but what am I going to eat?
Yeah.
And it's so primal. It's so like, oh, my God, you're going to take food out of my mouth, and I'm going to starve, and I'm never going to be able to enjoy the traditions that I grew up loving. I get that. It's just like, it's so much to think about, and it's such an emotional repulsion almost. So if you take that away and you just say no, you know, this is going to be a fun exploration. You're going to try some new things. You're going to experiment with recipes, check out some restaurants, you know, try a different entree at your favorite restaurant. Then it's the food wins you over, because the food is freaking fabulous these days.
Yes, I mean, it is.
Over the top fabulous, you know, with restaurants like Crossroads or Gracias Madre or Little Pine or, you know, even my favorite two restaurants in the world are that aren't vegan are steak restaurants, and they have tofu dishes there. So, you know, there's all kinds of fantastic food that is just like taking off in the modern culture.
You talk about swaps in this book, and what's funny to me is there was another book about swaps. It was the it was by the Skinny Bitch duo.
Oh,
and there was a vegan swaps book. It was a while ago, and it was a fine book. But the swap concept, I didn't get it until I read your book.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, there's always a solution. There's always something to fill the sandwich with, you know, something that when you're used to one thing, you can always like find the other. And I mean, even like when you're baking, instead of eggs, you can use applesauce or flax, or, you know, then they have egg replacer in the market now. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, and it's just so fun to experiment. You know, it's really kind of a great thing to do with friends and in your community and on the weekends. And, you know, it's fun. I do know
because I sit down for every meal almost with my partner, Gary, and we look at each other eating this delicious food, and we think we are the luckiest people in the world because we have the best food right here.
Oh, God, yes. So colorful, and it's so hearty, and it's so, I mean, frankly, I look back at the way that I used to eat, which is very, you know, standard American diet, a piece of chicken, some rice, some peas, some broccoli, whatever, and now I look at that, and that is just so boring, like seriously boring, dead food.
Dead.
So yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And so now I just look at my plate, and it is chock full. I am not... I'm not really a salad person unless it's super hot outside. I like, you know, really hearty, fulfilling food. And I love comfort food. It's just that my comfort food has shifted from fried chicken and mashed potatoes to, you know, like grilled seitan or, you know.
And mashed potatoes.
Exactly. So it's the same. It's like a lot of protein, a lot of healthy carbs, not the processed stuff. And I don't miss anything.
Okay, I read a lot of books, especially for this show, food related, lots of how to do vegan, all different kinds. And for example, last week I spoke with Mark Hawthorne, who has a very serious, excellent book out called The Vegan Ethic. It's like an encyclopedia of all the issues you want to think about when you're thinking about raising animals for food and versus raising plants for food and then animals for all other purposes. He hit like every issue, and it was inspiring, but it was deep. And then I read your book, which you explained is focused on younger generations, teens and young adults, and written with Rachel Cohn, who apparently, I mean, I'm going to give her a lot of credit for this. It's written so well, and I can really see it appealing to that audience. And yet, you seem to cover just about everything in a way that's easy.
Yeah, we didn't want to oversaturate with facts.
But it's all there.
Yeah, it's all there without being laborious. I think we all read so much now, you know, online and newsletters and everything. It's like we wanted to just get to the point, get the talking points, give you enough research so that you know what you're doing is right and backed up by studies and academia and stuff like that, but it doesn't weigh you down with too much information. It's just enough. And yes, Rachel was my, she would be, you know, I can tend to be a little wonky and nerdy and like wanting to, you know, fill things up with, it's like, here's another thing, just so you know, it's one more thing, you know, but she really was great at just making it very, very easy to take in the information.
Very easy, and yet at the same time, obvious. So if you're reading it, I like to think you'd get it quickly.
I hope so.
And then want to act.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a number of testimonials in here, and I have to admit, this may have been my most favorite part of the book, and I just want to read it, if that's okay.
Of course.
My 90-year-old grandmother lives in Queens, and she has lived in New York all her life. On one of my most recent visits, she and I were waiting for the elevator in her apartment building. We had just had a lovely meal in the building cafe, and she was asking me about veganism and noticing that I had requested no cheese on my salad. I answered her questions, and then she said something amazing. You know, ever since you started this thing, I've stopped eating so much meat. I guess I've started to see a face with my food. This, to me, is still one of the most remarkable statements I ever heard regarding transition in diet. If a 90-year-old Jewish New Yorker with a taste for beef and gefilte fish can change, anybody can. Lydia, New York, New York.
Isn't that the greatest?
I live in Queens with all of those 90-year-old grandmothers. I see them all the time.
Well done.
And that's really is remarkable.
It's funny because the younger generation is sort of bringing up the older generation. Mm-hmm. You know, they're pushing forward at a rate that's so much faster, and they're making it easier, and they're cutting to the chase, and again, they're really chill about it. You know, they're not dogmatic, they're not bossy, they're not about strict rules, and the older generation is like, oh yeah, well, that kind of does make sense. You know, they're just sort of leading by example, they're having fun with it, and I love seeing two people that far apart in age just really have the light bulb go on. It's just awesome.
Yeah, and for all of those 90-year-old grandmothers living in Queens who want to go this way, I have a great vegan gefilte fish recipe just for you.
Gefilte fish. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's a special developed, acquired taste.
Yeah, I think you have to grow up loving it. It's probably like the Vegemite sandwich or something.
It's
for
a fish.
Yeah.
It's very fishy.
Oh.
All right, let's just go over briefly to Robin Robertson's wonderful recipes.
Yeah, is she amazing or what?
Yes.
I have been a fan of hers for so many years. This woman knows how to make comfort food. She is a chef that just has a knack for, like, tapping into your love of tradition and comfort. It's so good.
Yeah, it's just about all here.
Yeah.
So before we get into Robin's, I just wanted to acknowledge and mention, you mentioned cashew cream before and Chef Tal Ronan and Crossroads. Mm-hmm. He is another vegan god chef. Mm-hmm. And cashew cream is so simple, as you describe in the book. And it goes on everything.
Everything. I mean, I don't know if you're like me, but I just want creaminess. Mm-hmm. I just want creaminess in my soups. I want sauces. I want, you know, a delicious sort of drink like a smoothie not even a smoothie, but just something, you know, delicious and cold and sweet. I mean, cashew cream, spaghetti sauce, Alfredo, everything. And it is so inexpensive and easy. And
good for you.
Yeah.
No guilt.
Protein, everything. It's fantastic.
I almost don't want to say this, but cashew cream is pretty perfect.
No, it is. I mean, I believe me, I sing it from the rooftops. I'm like, you guys have to try this because I know there's so many people like me and we're addicted to that cheesy feeling. It's like the creamy, cheesy thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing that you can create this at home is just a godsend.
And that's like making me think about something for a minute. Let's talk about cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people say, oh, I can't be vegan because I can't give up dairy. I can't give up cheese. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that the cheese that people love the most isn't really the sophisticated hard cheeses that you get in a fine restaurant from France or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's that melty, gooey stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's the melty, gooey. Well, I have to say I liked pretty much any kind of cheese. The sophisticated hard, the cheap, gooey, the pizza stuff, the stuff in the burritos, and pretty much anything. But that's the good news now is that
it's easy to make the melty, gooey, soft
totally,
stuff.
Totally, totally. And you've got the high-end ones on the market, like, you know, Kite
Miyoko.
Hill. Yeah, exactly. So you can, Miyoko's and Kite Hill, and you can have all of that stuff. And then you can also have Daya melted on your pizza, and, you know, follow your heart on your toast. There's just so many good cheeses out there.
Can I just acknowledge that you pronounce Daya correctly?
Oh, did I? Okay.
Yes, everyone wants to call it Daya.
Oh, yeah, well, tomato,
but I learned
tomato.
That it's Daya, and I all, you know how I remember it? My friends John and Deo Robbins, I always think of Deo, and then I say Daya instead of Deo. That's how I remember
perfect.
How to say it.
Perfect. I love it. I love it. Well, I'll have to remember that.
And even Deo calls it Daya.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
It's so good, though.
It doesn't matter what you call it, right? You
yeah,
call it
exactly.
Daya, I call it Daya. Let's call the whole thing off.
Exactly.
And eat vegan cheese.
As long as they exist out there. I'm so happy.
Exactly. Do you have a favorite in here?
You know, I'm a big protein person, and I, again, you know, probably veer off of the vegan speak out there that you don't need a lot of protein, and you don't, for medical reasons, you don't. We get plenty of protein. There's no protein deficiency. That said, I work out really hard, and I am vain, and my hair is important to me, and I just love protein-centric recipes and foods. So one of my favorites is on page 134, the red bean and sweet potato hash.
Mm.
Anything with sweet potatoes, I'm so happy with. And then this has the red beans, and so it's like a one-dish meal that you can have. It's just a big bowl of sweet potatoes and beans with wonderful spices and herbs and everything. And if you wanted to add more, you can grill up a piece of tofu or put on, you know, a piece of Beyond Meat, throw in some broccoli, you know, whatever you want to do. But it's just so good and so protein-rich.
You know, I don't think you need to slam the protein too much because, number one, animal protein is pretty much all protein, but when you're eating plant protein,
mm-hmm.
it's got carbs. It's got good carbohydrates
yeah.
in them.
Yeah.
It's like balanced naturally.
Exactly. And it makes it gives you so much energy. You know, the healthy whole carbs like sweet potatoes, you know, the Okinawans are one of the blue zones, the longest living people in the world, and especially the women, and they eat sweet potatoes all day long. They have them for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. It's one of the longevity foods, you know, in the world. And so and I like it because it's not only fiber, but it's tasty, it's kind of sweet, and it's so hearty. And it's just one of those things that you know you're doing your body good.
Okay, is everybody hungry yet? Because you should be. Talking about all this food always makes me very, very hungry.
I know, me too. I'm a foodie. I love food. That's the thing. I'm like you. When I sit down, I'm like, oh, God, I love this so much. I love this food so much. It's so damn good.
Love this food so much. Now, another good thing that I like in this book, it works for me, is you break it down. Simple. Mm-hmm. You simplify things on how, because people are so confused. What do I eat? I don't know what to eat. They, and people don't even realize that so often they eat vegan as it is without even realizing it because most people don't know what's in their food to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But you break it down, protein, starch, veggie, and flavor boost.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really nice way to think of it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's so much about the sauces or the spices or like how do you make it taste good? You know, you got to find the things that make you happy. To me, I am so fine in the world as long as I have garlic, olive oil, and salt. Honest to God, I could just live on that, you know, put that on just about anything and I'm happy.
A little cashew cream?
Yeah,
done.
Exactly. Cashew cream. Some people like a peanut sauce. Some people like, you know, a little sweeter. But once you have the flavor boost, you know, the things that you know you can add to just about anything, the food just comes alive, you know, and it's pretty simple.
Okay, the last thing I want to mention is the photographs in this book. Now, I think all cookbooks should have many color photos, and I don't think it should be any other way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, unfortunately, because of costs and whatever, some people don't have as many. And I like when they're throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very colorful book and lots of wonderful pictures.
Mm-hmm. Nicole Axworthy was our stylist, our food stylist and photographer, and she's just fantastic. She's just, you know, you can tell she loves
it. You want to lick the pages.
Yeah, yeah, and it's simple. You can see how simple the food is to make. It's not one of these fancy things that takes you, you know, three quarters of your day to shop and figure out how to make it. They're pretty darn fast, like 10 minutes, 20 minutes to make this stuff, and most of the stuff is, you know, either in your cabinet already or available in your local grocery store. You don't even have to go to a health food store for it. So it's really good stuff, and Nicole just captured the recipes perfectly.
Perfectly. She mm-hmm. did.
Yeah, I'm flipping through it right now, and I'm just...
You should be pretty proud. This is a great book. And for kids going off to college and teens in high school, this would make a great gift.
And just any adult who's
and any adult.
And, you know,
because it's easy to read.
Yeah,
it's really easy.
It's the ultimate, I think, the ultimate guide to just sort of finding your way into this way of life.
Kathy, this was delight, 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 pure delight. Thank you.
Thank you so much for
everything,
for having me, Karen. I love talking to you.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. That was Kathy Freston, the author of the book Veganish. Please look for it. It's beautiful, stunning, fabulous. Can't say enough good about it. I love it. And full of comfort food. Okay. Let's take a quick break. And I want to tell you my next guest is here with me in the studio. She is stunning. And I have to talk to her before we get started. So here is a break for you.
Thank you for listening to PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
South of the border, down Mexico.
I'm Johnny Mueller, host of The Expat Files, living in Latin America. Heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a show where you'll learn how to work, play, do business, or retire and live the life of Riley. Yes, an amazing number of first world people like you are jumping off the stateside treadmill and voting with their feet. And surprise, surprise, they're finding there really is an American dream. But it's not in Seattle, Milwaukee, or Cleveland anymore. It's down here in Latin America. So be sure to tune in to the Expat Files to find out how you can live the good life on a measly Social Security check.
This is journalist Dave Lindorf. I'll be hosting the show This Can't Be Happening each Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on PRN.FM. Because we know it is happening, each week's program will feature some issue that's been getting ignored or misreported, like Social Security, climate change, military spending, or the government's destruction of the Internet. Please join me at This Can't Be Happening on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Michael Wald, and I'm proud to announce that I'm the host of a new show right here on PRN every Saturday at 1 o'clock entitled Ask the Blood Detective. And as your friendly neighborhood blood detective, I'll be exploring all the cutting-edge, important health topics, which will include everything from foods to technology to supplementation and how it impacts your current health so that you can either reach health, maintain good health, or shoot for optimal health and longevity. But what is different about this show is that I'll be describing and teaching you how to interpret your own laboratory tests to find hidden nutritional and health meaning when many other healthcare providers fail to do so. So tune in with me every Saturday at 1 o'clock. Ask the Blood Detective. See you soon.
Hello, everybody. I'm back. And I'm swallowing because I was eating some amazing food just now and needed to get it down. Oh, amazing stuff. This is really fun. I have with me here in the studio May Kaidi. And she is an incredible, successful entrepreneur. She owns vegan restaurants and cooking schools in Bangkok and Chiang Mai. And we're lucky to have her here in New York right now. And she's going to tell us a lot of why she's here and what she's doing. And it has to do with delicious Thai food. That's vegan. Welcome to It's All About Food. So say hello in the microphone so we can hear you.
Okay, hello everyone. My name is Heidi.
Okay.
Nice to meet you here.
Good. Let me bring that up a little. Okay. Yeah, okay. Great. So you're here in New York right now.
Yes.
And you've had a few months, you've been doing some interesting projects. So why don't you let us know what you've been doing in New York?
Yeah, now I've been here about 8 months already.
8 months.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And in the 8 month, I want to starting some business. You know, like they are starting to do the Make ID cooking class and Mike ID, they are Kickstarter, like the kick tour, you know, like the tour cooking for vegetarian vegan food for people at home.
So have you been giving cooking classes while you've been here in New York?
Yes, I have a lot of class right now, about 15 events already.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
In New York and New Jersey. But next trip, we go to upstate.
Okay, now, a lot of people love Thai food. Mm-hmm. But one of the frustrating things for a vegetarian or a vegan mm-hmm. is we discover there's things in the sauce that
yes.
aren't for vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do to make...
For the sauce, for
yeah.
the vegetarian food, I use only vegan food, yeah? And for the sauce, I use very special in my cooking. I use like the chili paste, you
mm-hmm.
know, because we use chili paste for the tom yum soup. We use the chili paste for dipping. You can use chili paste for the stir fry. You can use chili paste for the curry.
And it's spicy,
yeah,
right?
For spicy, for make the flavor, you know. That's why they're very special today, you know. I bring you try how it's spicy.
I love it. I've tried the spring rolls.
Yeah, spring roll and with peanut sauce.
With a sweet, spicy, it's so good,
yeah,
peanut sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a lot of cilantro in it, too,
yeah,
which I love.
Yeah, cilantro and ginger.
And ginger, yeah. Just it's just the simplest of foods, and it's
yes.
delicious. And
mm-hmm.
then you jarred a particular sauce.
Yes,
can I?
Yeah, like one kind of chili paste. Like the chili on herb, right? The lemongrass and coffee lime leaf with the onion, garlic, carrot, you know, some.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to read it. It has daikon, jicama, mm-hmm. carrot, dried chili, brown sugar, tamarind, vinegar, mm-hmm. vegetable oil, salt, soy sauce, lemongrass, coffee lime leaves, and galangal.
Yes, we use the herb.
Yeah, beautiful, and it's delicious. Wow. So we can buy this here in New York?
Yeah, it's coming soon also in New York. Because
Not yet,
but we plan because we have the for set up restaurant first right now. You know, make it a restaurant coming soon
mm-hmm.
on October, and then we starting that also.
Okay, yeah. This is exciting. So you need to look for May Kaidi's Tom Yum Chili Paste. Vegan!
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Okay. When you do your cooking classes, what do you make?
Oh, in my class, I cooking the Tom Yum, what the flavor people
the
like.
Soup.
You know, Tom Yum soup, Massaman curry, Pad Thai, and black sticky rice with mango. Some people want to do special dishes, they can request what they like also.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they like it. Special dish like the Northeast Thailand and Bangkok really different, you know, or Northeast, you know, sometimes they like more spicy. I just to bring more chili, you know, and they can cook many styles.
Okay, let's go in the past, back in history when you were young.
Mm-hmm.
I always love to hear stories about how people became vegetarian and why they did.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us a little bit about you?
Yes, for me, you know, I don't decide for vegetarian before because I stay in the small village, like the farm, in the farm. And we cooking a lot of local food, like the frog and, you know, fish in the farm, you know.
Yeah.
We can fry everything what in the farm we cooking. And also the one thing happened with me because my auntie, you know, she live in Bangkok. She have the husband foreigner, you know, from foreigner from France. Then they have the restaurant, vegan restaurant. That is why I go to the beginning with her because she need me help.
I see.
Yeah, that's why the first time why I go to Bangkok and starting help the restaurant with my aunt. That's the vegetarian food, only foreigner. You know, I surprised from 1988. That's why they make my life change, you know, not stay in the village, not work in farm, but she invite me to help in the kitchen.
You were lucky to have
your
aunt.
Yes, that's why I'm beginning from hell, cooking, chopped vegetable, but not vegetarian, you know. I cook, but I eat meat. That's why I happy eating, you know. So someday, make my body really problem, because when you eat a lot of meat and food not digest, and I have the weight problem, like 65 kilo.
Wow, you were heavy.
Yeah, I have the problem from diet. And also the
Let me tell you right now, May Kaidi is beautiful. She has a beautiful dress on and decorated with all kinds of lovely jewelry. It's just so exciting to see it. I'm going to post it on my website later. But just absolutely stunning. Did you come here in a taxi or did
not just walking.
Did you walk?
34th Street.
And really were people here. Admiring you as you walked?
Yeah, even take photos. Yes, I'm walking like that.
You know, we're here in New York City and there's all kinds of people here and all kinds of dress. And most people leave everybody alone. But you're just too striking for people not to pay attention to. That's lovely. So does this clothing signify anything in
that
particular?
That is about the Thai culture. You know, they have many Thai people. When you wear like that, it means you do ceremony something. You know, you do that at a wedding. Sometimes we wear not like the jewelry, but like the Thai. Sometimes they use for ceremony for Thai dance for the king birthday.
Yeah.
Or queen birthday, you know, or in the school they have some show for school, you know, the teaching Thai dance. They show, that's why that's custom, like for show.
It's lovely.
Yeah, but I use that for walking and marketing.
Now, what do Thai people think of vegetarians?
You know, before people see, vegetarian is how you get the power from vegetarian. How people say, how you have energy for that. You know, sometimes I worry about that. Also, you know, but after then, when I come vegetarian for 25 years, I have been for 25 years now, then I can tell my body, don't worry about the protein, don't worry about the meat, you know. Sometimes I eat just the tofu, soya milk, or like the product, like the nut or brown rice, you know. My body don't have problem with that. That's why my body decide to eat more only vegetarian right now.
You know, this program is always open to calls, and if anybody has any questions about Thai cuisine, you can call in at 1-888-874-4888. 1-888-874-4888. Yeah, I love Thai food, but I never know where I can get it, where I can be sure it's vegan. Because of the fish sauce and the oyster sauce, right?
Yes. Right now, vegetarian really popular everywhere, you know.
Yes.
And when foreigners go to Thailand, you know, they bring vegetarian food or vegan and raw food to Thailand.
Raw food,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, raw food also. And now Thai people really follow what people eating health, you know. They know about the health, the fasting, and they know about the detox. You know, that's why the Thai people are eating more healthy right now. And then people that like the vegetarian, many vegetarian fish sauce right now, like the soya sauce. You know, we don't use fish sauce, but we use light soya sauce or dark soya sauce. We don't use oyster sauce, but we use mushroom sauce.
Mushroom sauce is better than oyster sauce, and it's so good for you.
Sometimes you can use like the miso. You know, miso is miso like the bean paste. You know, the same in Thailand. They have Thai miso also.
Miso.
Yeah, Thai
Where can
miso.
I find that?
Yeah, in Asian market, you have like the Thai market. They have.
Is it called Thai miso or something?
It's called the tau jiao, but making from Thailand. You know, Thailand more liquid. You know, very good for stir fry, but for the Japanese more stick. Right, in the back. But Thailand make from bean the same.
Right, from the beans.
Yes.
Amazing beans.
Formative,
we can do everything with beans, right? Okay, now you have been like everywhere. You've taught cooking in how many countries?
Oh, I have been cooking in Japan, England, Moscow, and also in England 2 times, Moscow 2 times, and Japan 2 times also.
Did they like your food in Moscow?
Yes, I surprised.
Is there a lot of Thai food there?
I saw some restaurant Thai, many people to go there. But my cooking there, sure, is vegan people because the community people there is the Hindu, like a Hindu temple.
Mm.
They do their ceremony for Krishna. Mm-hmm.
I went to a vegetarian conference once in Brazil.
Impressive.
And I did some cooking demos,
mm-hmm,
of some very simple food. And before I got there, I sent a list to the, mm-hmm, conference people for the food that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
Without thinking, they didn't have all the same ingredients.
Yes.
So when you're in Russia,
mm-hmm,
can you find all the food that you need?
Yeah, I can find some, but not at all.
Yeah.
But I can change something.
That's when you,
yeah,
that shows your talent, when,
yes,
you can make it with,
yes,
something new, right?
Yeah, I know, like the green curry, sometimes you use the sweet basil, right? But there, they use a lot of dill. Then I use dill for green curry.
Mm.
I use dill for red curry,
Okay.
Yes.
That could be good.
Yeah, it tastes really good also. But
right, they like that. They like their dill there,
yes,
in Russia, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Queens in New York.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big Russian community. And in the stores near the Russian area, the dill that they sell, it's always cheaper and just a lot of it because, mm-hmm, they like dill. Dill instead of basil. Okay, why not?
Yeah.
And what about you've been to France?
France, no.
No.
I've never been France.
Okay, mm-hmm, they need you. They're the, yeah, cuisine capital of the world,
yeah,
right?
I like to traveling. Yeah, and
they,
yeah,
need you. I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's different, but I lived in the south of France in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I never found a good Thai restaurant.
Oh.
They need you.
I see. Some Thai restaurant, not Thai people cooking.
Yeah.
Some Thai restaurant, they build a business. Then they sell for some foreigner, like sometimes Chinese.
I went to a Thai restaurant last week in the Broadway district, mm-hmm, Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible.
Wow. Yeah, maybe many people say, Thai cooking, but not Thai people cooking sometimes like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yep.
Thai food, but not Thai people cooking.
Yeah.
You use only name. One restaurant, some here also, everything Thai, have the Buddhist, the monk, have the everything like the decorate like Thai. When I go there, I say hello to say Sawadika. Nobody know me.
I have a question. There was a nice Thai restaurant in my neighborhood in Forest Hills. It's not there anymore. And they had these goddesses. I think they were hanging from the ceiling. These they were wooden women with wings.
Uh-huh.
Someone told me they were goddesses of the rice paddies. Do you know what I'm talking about? I see them in Thai restaurants sometimes. Is that an American creation, or is that that really Thai?
I think just for some their marketing, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I think like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good to know. That's funny. Okay. You've had one Kickstarter?
Yeah.
And now you have another one?
Another one coming also.
And what is it for?
The Kickstarter for next?
Yeah.
Yeah. For right now, we do the tour cooking. Yeah. Then next, we go to upstate.
Upstate New York.
Yeah. And then go to the Boston.
Okay. Where in upstate New York?
In the Ithaca.
Ithaca.
Yeah.
When are you going to be there?
In this week, next week.
Okay.
Coming.
Very good.
Week. Yeah.
I might be in Ithaca next week.
Yes, Ithaca.
Are you teaching at the university or at?
Yeah, and also university, common, another common university, that?
Is it in Ithaca?
Yeah, really close to Ithaca.
Not
in Ithaca, we do two places.
Okay.
Ithaca and common university.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So you're doing a Kickstarter to raise money to do what?
For the money, we want to build a restaurant. Right now, we're starting restaurant in the buy some of the ingredients, some of the project. Right now, we starting painting construction, you know.
So you have a restaurant?
Yeah, right now we have already.
And where is it?
On 28th Street, east side.
But it's not open?
Coming on October.
Oh, so we're going to have a real vegan Thai restaurant in October. Are you going to stay in New York?
Yes, because I want to build my caddy in New York. That's
beautiful.
Why I'm going to stay for a long time.
Okay, this is exciting. So it should open in October. And what's on the menu?
In the menu, we have like the local food. Local is mean from Thailand, you know. We have like the Thai, Bangkok, South, Northeast, and the North Thailand. You know, you can see Thai food very different about North Thailand, different South Thailand.
How is
Bangkok.
It? I don't know. How is it? I only know Pad Thai. So.
Yeah, the culture very different also. You know, Thai, Northeast, and my village, like the Northeast Thailand, you know,
is
the food.
Is it spicier or
richer? Yeah, very spicy.
In the North?
Yeah, Northeast. Northeast. Spicy also, but no more, not a lot of coconut.
Not a lot of coconut.
Yeah, really light. You know, similar like that, you know, but dipping with the
spicy
rice.
Yeah, but spicy. Not heavy.
Yes. But in the Chiang Mai, it like the have the soup, special like the khao soi, you know. The khao soi is between North Thailand and like the Burma, you know. They have like the mix North and Burma a little bit, you know, the food. That's why they're very different. And South Bangkok is like they're a little bit like the Muslim and Thai South people, you know, that's why they mix together.
Okay.
And Bangkok, like the original style, you know, the Pad Thai, Tom Yam, Masaman, and also the curry, you know, or stir fry, you know, or salads, crispy salad, mango, spicy, you know, or lemongrass salad, you know, something like that.
Sounds good. Are you getting hungry, everybody? I have some great, I'm going to try one bite because it was so good. I've got a spring roll here and it's got tofu in it and carrots. And is that cabbage or lettuce in there?
Yeah, lettuce.
Okay, lettuce. And
ginger and cashew nut also.
Oh, is this, what is
lettuce,
this?
Just ginger.
Ginger. Oh, yeah. Nice strips of ginger in a sweet
and
peanut
sesame.
Sauce. I'm taking a bite. Hold on a minute. Crunch. Okay, I love the ginger. That's so good. Oh, there's a cashew in there.
Yes, cashew nut. Yeah.
That's so exciting. I'm crunching on something. I never had a cashew in my spring roll.
Sometimes you can use the avocado. It's very good. You know, here a lot of avocado, you know. Sometimes I don't use cashew nut, but I use avocado, you know, more creaming together.
Oh, this is really good. Okay. What else do you want to tell me about? You have a few restaurants in Thailand?
Yeah, we have 3 in Bangkok, 1 in Chiang Mai, and 1 in Cambodia also opening already.
And do you find a lot of vegetarians go there or everybody goes there?
Go to Thailand?
To your restaurants.
In Thailand, in Bangkok. Yeah, we have the restaurant from 1988, almost like 20 years, 25 or 28.
Has it always been vegetarian?
Only vegetarian.
Wow.
And also the one thing, not Thai people go to my restaurant, only foreigner. Yes, international people, you know, when they say vegetarian, people surprised, you know, only foreigner go to my restaurant. That's why I'm beginning myself on the street, that the food, the street food, you know, I have the small cart and the restaurant only 2 table. You know, when the raining, you cannot eat. You just will stop. When the rain go, you can come. And no name restaurant before, but many people. But I surprised, have the Lonely Planet. After people say, oh, your restaurant really popular. You have market in Lonely Planet, in Love Guy, in the City Guy, you know, the Stefan Root, some in the Germany or France guy, you know. And after then, TV from France, Germany, England, and TV from Israel, you know, come interview about me, you know, how you come vegetarian, why only foreigner come to your business, why you, like I show Thai culture, I show the cooking and dancing. That's why I like my dread like that. I show Thai cooking.
So you like foreigners?
Yes, of course.
We like your food.
Yes.
That's funny. You know how I found out about you? From John Phillips.
John, this is my student cooking class in Thailand about 2 years ago or 4 years ago.
Okay, he came to your class in Thailand.
Yes.
Yeah. I met him when he was a teenager. And he was a young vegan and a great activist and a great volunteer. Mm-hmm. And he's continued to be a good friend and colleague and knows all the best places to eat. So he found you and then knew, I guess he found out you were here in New York.
Yeah, also in New York, you know, one thing I do, like I do the cooking Friday night, I do the cooking party, you know, and then I invite people to my apartment.
Oh, nice.
I just to do the cooking too, like my the business card on the street. People want to join my dinner cooking. Mm-hmm. That's why I do that. More people see, oh, my kitty in New York, do something. Then people booking. Sometimes I have 20 people in one day, you know, in the early the 7 o'clock until 9, you know, that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good. Every week, 20 people, 15 people, 10 people, you know, like that. It's good. You know, some meeting people.
Okay, so I'm wondering about, I know what I can get in a restaurant, but in Thailand, a fine meal, do you serve special, excuse me, I had a bite and now I'm belching. Is that impolite? are there special beverages, alcohol, wines?
In Thailand?
Yeah.
Oh, for my restaurant or everywhere?
Yeah, in the culture and at your restaurant.
Oh, yeah, in Thailand, you know, some they have why not so popular, you know, but in the for local people, you know, they drink more like the Laos whiskey or something like that. They have also, you know, the drink, but the wine not so popular for.
Okay, whiskey's popular, wine not so popular.
Yeah, not so popular.
Often we can get a Thai iced tea that has milk in it.
Yes.
Do you make a vegan version?
Yeah, I want to do that one, you know, Thai tea or Thai iced coffee, you know, we can change. You know, normally I do in my restaurant, I'm making Thai tea with almond milk and coconut milk. I change, you know, no milk. And also with Thai coffee also, you know, you can add coconut milk or you can add almond milk. It's very good.
It is
also
very good.
Yes.
Ooh, yes. Okay, so where can people find you right now? So you have a website. Does it talk about the New York events on your website?
Yeah, from with my Caddy grand opening, you know, Matusin by Facebook, Instagram, on the Twitter, and also Make Heidi website.
Okay, I'm going to put links on my website for your Facebook page and your website. This is really very exciting for people to find out about. You don't have a specific date yet for your grand opening.
Yeah, grand opening we plan on 2 October.
The second
October, that we plan. If everything no problem, we want to do that because we went paperwork, not easy sometimes.
Has
know?
The health department visited you yet?
Yeah, that's
the,
why.
The New York Health Department.
Yeah, that's why you shake every time starting now, you know, for big cleaning.
Yes,
you know, and
big
take
cleaning.
Take time, you know. That's why I say we say 2 October, 2 October, if can open, you know, I will invite everyone want to go to my party. I invite Monk to my ceremony for the grand opening,
good.
For Buddhists. And then it will.
So we'll see some nice costumes at the
ceremony.
Yeah,
in the ceremony and play for the gods of the land of the stay before, you know, and also party I do like the buffet, you know, people can enjoy the food, you know, starting like the noon, like the 12 o'clock after monk finish lunch, you know, and noon until 8 o'clock. I want to do that all day. I want to do party like the buffet and everyone can eating, you know, and then just people donation. Just donation.
That's beautiful. All life should be like that, where you eat and then you pay what.
Yeah,
what
you'd like to pay. You know, I want to people taste the food also in that
beautiful
time.
Okay, so the October 2nd, hopefully you're going to open. And the what's the address?
Address 126
East 28th Street.
Yes.
Okay, fabulous.
I will send an email again.
Yes, good. Oh, great. I'm so delighted to meet you. This has been such a treat. And I really love that you took the time and effort to wear this beautiful costume. We've gotten really sloppy here in the United States. Nobody cares what they put on anymore. So this is really exciting for me. And this food, I can't wait to dig into it. Okay. So, Mei Kaidi, thank you so much for joining me. It's All About Food. And don't go anywhere because I want to nibble a little bit more on this. Mm-hmm. But I just have a few more things to say to my listeners before I close out the program. Once again, I wanted to remind you, as I said at the top of the show, about the Forks Over Knives and Engine 2 program, the different weekenders and the week-long immersion. This is really a great opportunity, especially if you're new to the food or, you know, if you're not. This is a great time to really meet some of these wonderful speakers and educators and eat great food and have a great time and meet people just like you. So responsibleeatingandliving.com is my website. Go there and find the link to the Forks. It's Forks 2. Is that what it's called? Forks 2 events. Excellent. Okay. Thank you. And I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me, and have a delicious week. Mm-hmm.